Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Have you been thinking about picking up your family and moving internationally? Well, my friend, a broadcaster who's worked at BBC, CNN, and can now be seen and heard all over Australia with ABC and on radio as well, Jason Dacey, has done just that. And he's here to tell us about the three things you need to know about moving to Australia. Jason, how are you? Good morning.
Oh, great to see you again, Michelle.
It's so nice to see you. Welcome back. I did not know that you initially grew up in Sydney, because when I heard you moved back to Brisbane, I thought that you moved back to home.
Yeah, it was a big decision to move back. And I was in Singapore, as you know, for almost 20 years, from 2001 to 2019. Mm. In that period, I was doing things in Malaysia and in India, a bit of time in the US and Hong Kong, but pretty much my base was Singapore for 20 years. Made the decision in 2019 to go back to Australia because my daughter at that time was 9 years old and I wanted to give her an Aussie education. So it's almost 5 years since we moved back. But I made a decision to move to Brisbane rather than Sydney because I felt that Brisbane was better for my family in terms of affordability, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of climate, and just a bit more relaxed. And Sydney is a lot different to the city that I grew up in because it's become a true international city in the same way as Hong Kong, Singapore, London, New York. Sydney has gone from strength to strength. There is good that comes with that, and there's also bad that comes with that.
So you're here to talk about three things we need to know before moving to Brisbane. Is one of the three the fact that you have to press a button to get off the train?
You do. That's right. Very observant. In fact, I'm looking for the button on the MRT back here in Singapore sometimes. I'm like, no, we don't actually do that here. Yeah, it's not the same. The pace of life in Brisbane is a lot more relaxed than it is here. So I guess not everybody gets off on every station, so you have to press the button if you actually want to get off.
Pace of life is different. I wonder, did you scope these things out? Did you have to go down a couple of times before you decided on this, you know, big move to uproot your young family and move to Australia?
Yes, we used to travel back regularly to Sydney. When I was going back there, and my mum still lives there, she's 89 years of age, turns 90 next year. Mm. She still lives in the house that we grew up in. But I would notice that Sydney was kind of getting more and more bad-tempered, more and more edgy, more angry. And when I went to Brisbane, because I had lived on the Gold Coast many years ago, I just felt it had a lovely vibe about it. It just seemed so relaxed, so friendly. And I thought, look, I'm going to go back to Brisbane. So we actually bought a townhouse ahead of our proposed trip and proposed move back to Brisbane about 2 or 3 years before we actually moved. Bought a townhouse, got in the real estate market, got us foothold there because I didn't have any property in Australia apart from the one I bought in Brisbane. And that turned out to be a good move, a townhouse. And when we moved back, we initially stayed in that for a couple of years before buying a bigger landed property.
Oh, it sounds like the Singapore dream, really.
Yeah, well, we lived in an HDB, as you know, on East Coast.
Beautiful.
Which was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good experience. But yeah, very, very different when you move back to Australia and you're in a landed property and a lot more space and everything like that.
How's your young daughter taking to that?
She's taken to it pretty well. So she went to Tanjong Katong Primary School, as you may remember, Tong Ling Kindergarten as well at East Coast. So she had a great start to her schooling. Age of 9, we decided that we'd take her back to Australia, and she's now in secondary school. She goes to a Catholic school in Brisbane called Lewards Hill. Fee-paying school, but pretty affordable. All-girls school. And we actually lived in that area when we first moved back, and we saw the girls, these beautiful purple uniforms, and we thought, these girls are so nice and so well-behaved, we're going to send our girl there. So she's in year 9 now, which is the third year, I guess like Sec 3 here.
You know, everybody that I know who is an adult thinks there's a better life at the end of a long-haul flight, but transition is difficult. Sometimes can be. What was the transition like for you and also for her?
It was challenging. Yeah, definitely challenging for everyone. For my wife, who is from Hong Kong but had lived in Singapore for a long time, it was challenging, but we kind of went in there with our eyes open. And I was 57 when I moved, so it's 5 years ago. So you can do the math.
Continually look 21. I'd say a new haircut and everything.
Yeah, so I strategically decided that now I thought was the right time to go back after 25 years. And for her, it did take some time. You know, she had a Singapore accent.
She would leave all her friends behind.
She did leave all her friends behind, but she is still keeping in touch with him. And the good news is that she will come back to Singapore in the middle of the year. We're going to be going to Europe on SQ, and she will meet those same friends from Tanjung Katong Primary School, Tong Ling Kindergarten, for the first time in 5 years.
That's fantastic. I want to back up a wee bit because you mentioned that you had a foothold before you moved the entire family to Brisbane, and that was a townhouse that you purchased. What is the property market like in Brisbane?
Brisbane property is booming because for a long time it was undervalued compared to Sydney and Melbourne. And I just got some stats actually just come out today that the median house price in Brisbane is $924,000 Australian dollars, which is about around $850,000 Singapore dollars, and the median home unit or condo price is $549,000, which is about $450,000 Sing dollars. The Aussie dollar quite weak to the Singapore dollar, as you know now.
Good point.
Yeah, so 12.5% growth in the past year, and every quarter it's going up by about 2%. So it is still pretty good value, but it's getting more expensive. More people are moving to Brisbane and Queensland than any other place in Australia due to the nice weather, due to the affordable property market, particularly from Sydney and Melbourne. And just looking at the populations of the respective cities, you know, you've got Sydney's about 5.3 million, Melbourne's about 5.1 million, and Brisbane's about 2.5 million. So that gives you an idea that Brisbane is roughly half the size of Sydney and Melbourne.
Love the figures, Jason, especially for us here with the listeners on Money and Me. What would I get for that median price for a home, for a landed property? How much space would I get?
You get quite a lot of space. You would get, in terms of square footage, you know, maybe about 1,500 to 1,700 square feet. You'd get at least three bedrooms, probably four bedrooms if you weren't too close to the city.
That's about 850,000 Sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'd get a backyard. So my house is 415 square meters in total land. We have a small backyard, a decent sized backyard. We have a dog now, by the way. We have a cavoodle. It's a puppy, so it's just turned one. So we have four bedrooms. We have two bathrooms, three toilets, two and a half bathrooms. We have a balcony with views of the city. So our house we bought 2 years ago for about 1.1 million Australian dollars, about a million Sing. Which is pretty good when you think about it. And we're only about 4 kilometres from the city. That's appreciated quite a lot in the last 2 years because the Olympics and Paralympics are coming to Brisbane in 2032.
Oh, goodbye, Jason.
Well, hopefully. But yeah, so you can see there's pretty good value there for any Singaporean investor looking to go to Australia. And I know that Singaporeans tend to go to Perth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Perth is almost like a second part of Singapore, you know, home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them go to the Gold Coast. But Brisbane has a lot of attractions that Singaporeans can really enjoy. And I find it a very livable city.
You have a young family. So is it the sort of place that, you know, a young, growing family looking for musicals, things to do, Harry Potter adventures and all that can experience versus I think the perception for Perth is it's quite quiet.
Yeah, I think that Brisbane's a step up from Perth. Perth is very isolated. It's a beautiful city. And I love Perth, but Brisbane is really the third city of Australia behind Sydney and Melbourne. We didn't get Taylor Swift, but we did get a lot of other performers like Paul McCartney. I was at the Paul McCartney concert at the end of last year.
Oh.
Last week I went to Beauty and the Beast at QPAC, the Queensland Performing Arts Centre, stayed in the beautiful South Bank area, which some of you listeners might be familiar with. It's all parkland. There's actually a man-made beach right there on the river.
Oh, we like that.
That is incredible. right there. So we stayed in South Bank, and I do some work at ABC, as you know, which is also located there. And we walked up to the performance and saw it, and it was magnificent. So I love to cycle. You know, it's great cycling there. Many attractions, markets. And you're only, 45 minutes away from theme parks. Mm. If you want to go to Movie World, Wet n Wild, Dream World, and less than an hour on a good run to the beach at Surfers Paradise on the Gold Coast.
Now, this might seem a strange question, but yeah, I'm testing your trivia here as well, and it does relate to our topic today. Do you know what the Laksa capital of the world is?
Laksa capital of the world? Well, I would say the Singapore or Penang.
It's actually Darwin.
Is it?
They're mad about laksa. They have a laksa festival a couple of times a year, I understand. And it's just all the rage. So I wonder, you know, if you're missing your Singaporean char kway teow, what do you do in Brisbane?
Well, yeah, I can get char kway teow in Brisbane, but unfortunately it costs about three or four times the price here.
No.
There are a lot of Malaysian and Singaporean restaurants there, but that's what I really miss about Singapore. And you know me well, Michelle, I just love my local food. So the last few days I've been, you know, eating many, many local delights.
Catching up.
Yes, exactly.
So what would you say would be the pros and cons of living in Brisbane, Jason?
Well, I'm going to give you my three things to consider. So the first thing, and remember, I moved in 2019. So you've got to make a lifestyle adjustment. You can't go down there like expecting to get char kway teow for $3.50 a plate. You can't expect that. You can't expect to get your teh halia kurang manis, you know, at the corner store like I used to in Singapore. So you've got to think about lifestyle adjustment. And obviously that with that comes your family schooling. It comes, again, you know, your spouse and the kind of routine that you would get into. And life is very different down there. And it's different, Michelle, going on holiday somewhere than actually living there.
Absolutely.
So you've really got to take into account the way your lifestyle will change and whether you're prepared to do that. My wife's from Hong Kong, as I've mentioned, and she has a Hong Kong friend. And she keeps saying, oh, in Hong Kong, this would never happen. You know, their service here is nowhere as near as good as Hong Kong.
She lives in Brisbane?
Yes, she lives in Brisbane. So she has the wrong attitude. So you have to go with the right attitude. And Aussies are a lot more laid back, particularly in Brisbane, than people are perhaps in Asia. Mm. So you've got to take that into account. So that would be one thing. And schooling. I think one mistake that we made when we went back, we put our daughter into school in the middle of the year, in the middle of the school year. So as you may know, it's the calendar year in Australia for schooling. Mm-hmm. So we went back in July and she started in term three in July. So that was quite difficult for her. So that adjustment she had to make. So it took her a while to make friends.
So if you could redo it again, you start at the start of the year.
Yes, I would say think of things like that. So that's the first point. Mm-mm. Second point is professional adjustment that you'll have to make. And whether you're maybe someone listening is an expat like me who is considering going back to their country, whether it's the US, the UK, whether it's somewhere else in Asia, it won't be the same for you professionally when you go back. And that's what I found out. And that's what I expected. Like you'll go back and you won't be at the same level because people may not be able to relate to your experience in the same way. Mm. So it probably took me at least half a year to a year to catch up and get any kind of work at all. So money-wise, you've got to make adjustments to that.
You've got to have that safety net.
You definitely have to, yeah. So fortunately, that's what I had and I planned for this because I was traveling back regularly and I could see that. So don't expect to be at the same professional level. And it can be quite... not humbling is the word, I guess, that people may not know what you've done overseas. And you've got to swallow your pride sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to bang that drum?
You do. And looking back now, when I reflect on when I came back into Australia, I felt I didn't sell myself the right way. I think I was too low key because I didn't want to come across as a boaster, as a bragger. But it took me a while to get that professional momentum up and running again. And you have to kind of reinvent the story about you so people may see you. So you need to come up with a branding to try and get that same professional status.
Love that, Jason. Yeah. This is super useful. Are we at three? I should have said show's about 10.
Here's number three. So number three is friends. So, you know, you're a friend of mine. I've got a lot of friends here at SPH, a lot of friends in Singapore, and I have a lot of friends in Australia. But when you go back, like I returned to Australia after 25 years, you've always kept in touch with people overseas through the years, but because you haven't actively had those friends, you haven't lived there for a long time, don't expect to go back and suddenly have that friendship like it used to be before you went overseas. Because these friends are used to having you a long way away. Mm. And they're not used to having you as an active part of their lives. So some of my school friends I still am friendly with, but, you know, they're not really part of my life. So you'll have to make new friends. And that can be hard for people because you feel a bit isolated at times.
This is so key, and it's part of the emotional adjustment as well.
It is. So I think good things to do. So in this third point of friends, try and join groups where you'll meet new people, whether it's, you know, Lions Club, whether it's Toastmasters. Well, I joined a community radio station. So I started volunteering in an area called Logan, and I love music, as you know. Mm-hmm. So as well as my professional radio, I do voluntary radio for a music station called 101 FM. And you meet other people who love radio.
Oh, fabulous.
So that's what I did. That helped me.
You're also an amazing writer, I have to say. I read one of your articles for ABC. Incredible.
Well, you appeared in one of my articles,
too. I did. Thank you for putting me in that.
You've got your photo in there. So, yeah, I think professionally I've had to really pivot. And while I continue to do radio and TV in Australia, I've also had to do a lot of digital media work to make money. And that's where it's all at the moment, isn't it?
That's where all the eyeballs are. Yeah,
exactly.
You've got to go where the audience is,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so even in radio, can you talk a little bit about the differences in terms of professional expectation for you as a personality?
Well, I think the big thing I've had to do in radio when I work for 4BC, part of the Nine radio network, is express opinions. Because for a long time, I was a TV and radio presenter that presented facts and presented interviews and all that. Mm-hmm. But on the station that I work on, they want to hear your opinion about things, whether it's politics, whether it's lifestyle. And what they really love in Australia is they love nostalgia. So they'll say, you know, what was the first ice cream you ate? You know, how did it feel when you had croissant for the first time?
Interesting.
You know, what was the first car that you had? In fact, a good one that we did at the radio station, the music radio station where I work as a DJ, some gave me a piece of chocolate cake, brought it back home. The dog ate the chocolate cake, which of course is poisonous for dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to take the dog to the vet, and luckily everything was fine. But I said, what's the strangest thing that your dog ate? So because the audience is a mature audience, they love all this sort of nostalgia and quirky stuff, but you've got to also give them the news. And we had quite severe flooding in Brisbane about 2 years ago, so I was part of that coverage in 2022. So it's a combination between entertaining people, taking them down memory lane, but also providing news and opinions.
And what are people listening to in Brisbane?
Well, my daughter loves the music stations, and so through her, I'm listening to a lot of the current music, whether it's Taylor Swift or whether it's Weeknd and Ed Sheeran. I've been exposed to music perhaps that I wouldn't normally be exposed to.
Right?
You know, I've been
at
your place, Michelle. We were listening to the 70s and 80s with Michael.
We have this thing at my place where we pull up playlists based on our guest's date of birth.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's
so
that's
that
wonderful.
Was I think we played earlier.
Yes, I think we did.
It was fun.
Yeah, so
but coming back to the cost thing.
The cost thing, yes.
How much will we have to sock away? How many years of planning will we have to take?
I think several years. Yes, several years. You need, I would say, with a family, you know, you'll need a war chest of probably a couple hundred thousand to take with you to just get through those first, couple of years because it's not going to be cheap. Australia's become very expensive.
Right, yeah.
Super expensive.
Isn't eating out expensive in Brisbane?
Yeah, it's really expensive. For example, at a market, then the thing about Brisbane I love is the markets. There's some incredible markets. There's one I love called West End Davies Market. It's on the river near the city of Brisbane, mm-hmm. and I cycle there, and I'm a big cyclist.
Oh, right.
So I can go there, and it's like living in Brisbane is like you're on the holiday all the time. So the weather's great, the sun's shining, I'm cycling on the river, get to the market, music's playing, and, you know, you can buy your fruit and veggies. But those food trucks at the market are like $18 or $19 for a burrito or some pad thai or something like that. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
But that's pretty expensive.
It is. It is, absolutely. How are the winters?
I found it very difficult to adjust to the winters. And it seems strange because Brisbane is a very mild city. But having lived in Singapore for the best part of 20 years, we came back to Australia in July, and you've traveled a lot to Australia, and you'll know that July is the coldest time of the year.
You see Christmas ornaments up in July.
Yeah, they actually celebrate the Christmas feel. They have the Christmas dinners and the lights and all that in July.
Because it feels like winter. Yeah,
exactly.
It is winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a wake-up call to get those cold mornings. And in Brisbane, even though it warms up beautifully in the day to a perfect 21 or 22 degrees, it can be 4 or 5 degrees at night. 4 or 5 degrees. And we know in Singapore that the coldest it'll get here might be 21 or 22, right?
That's it.
So can you imagine? So even 15 degrees felt freezing to me when I went back. So getting used to the winters has taken some adjustment.
Wow. And how's wife taking to it? So she's Hong Kong born.
Yes.
Then lived in Singapore for many years.
And Malaysia. We were in Malaysia as well.
And Malaysia, yeah. So what is wife's view on, and, you know, how, Talk to us a little bit about recruiting the family and getting them on board with such a move.
Well, I think my wife was on board with that because she had studied in the UK in Cardiff, and she travelled a lot. She was a flight attendant with Cathay Pacific, so she travelled a lot. So she likes nature, and the nature in Brisbane is spectacular. You've got a lot of great hiking trails, whether it's Mount Coother or O'Reilly's or Binnaburra. There's so many places to go hike. So she was fine with that, but it did take some adjustment. She actually ended up getting a job. She retrained during COVID as a teacher's aide. So now she works as a teacher's aide for a private school, and that's sort of in sync with my daughter. So she's been fine with it. And there's also a big Hong Kong community in Brisbane.
Oh, interesting.
There's a big Hong Kong community. They're living in an area called Rochedale, which is about 20 minutes south, I think, of the city of of the city of Brisbane, and it's a lovely sort of estate. And there's a big Chinatown in Brisbane called Sunnybank. It used to be an area called Fortitude Valley, right near the city, but now it's changed to the south side of Brisbane, an area called Sunnybank, and this is where you'll find all the great food and good prices as well. So she's often in Sunnybank with her Hong Kong friends, and you know, having dim sum and.
Oh, Sunnybank sounds like a must visit for us Singaporeans.
Yes.
Are there any other places we absolutely need to go?
Yeah, I would say there's a few places that I really like. There's the Howard Street Wharfs, which is Howard Street Wharf on the river. Mm-hmm. There are some lovely eateries there. So, you know, it's at night, it's just perfect. You can see the river and you can enjoy Felons and the Howard Street Wharf. And also an area in Fortitude Valley, James Street. It's all the fashion boutiques. You've got a lovely hotel there called the Carlisle Hotel, which is one of the top hotels across Australia, sort of an Art Deco feel.
Mm.
So lots of options there, lots of options across Brisbane to visit.
Well, this man is a master storyteller. I don't know if you've figured that out already, but Jason
Dacey.
That
made some sense.
We need Jason Dacey streaming. Just Jason Dacey Radio.
Oh, well, I guess I'm a bad idea.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for coming on,
Michelle,
Jason.
It's lovely to see you again, and thank you for welcoming back here to Money FM.
Always.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.